Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's good. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm thankful to be numbered as his child. Amen. Hallelujah. It says to make it into his kingdom, we must become as a little child. You know, we read in the scriptures, you know, he wants to be men of valor. You know, stand up like great mighty men. Well, that's how I'm going to make it in, praise God. And I say, yeah, amen. And that's a good revelation, yeah. But you also got to come to the same revelation you got to become as a child also. You know, we're a ministry that's continually differentiating things. People that get involved with revelational doctrine, things that Brother Pike taught, without learning first to differentiate, they'll put the things in the wrong dimension. You know, we're going to take this kingdom by force. And boy, we got to be aggressive and we got to take. And people still talking about a takeover here at Christian Temple Church. Had a gentleman call me from a prison, never spoke with before. Said he was told to stay away from me because I don't have the revelation that this other brother has this superior revelation, but they're going to take this work over. I'll give you an example of what I just said. You know, I've been married 42 years, and I got a lot more skill and a lot more ability to be your wife's husband than you do. So, you know, because I'm so superior in my mind, so superior in my fatherly and husband things, that I'm just going to take your wife away from you. You know, you see right there, if anybody in their right mind hears something like that, they're going to automatically say, that don't sound like Christ to me. A man isn't put into a position as a pastor because he is superior. The man that's put into a pastor come to a revelation, he's the least of all. And he loves his brethren. You know, and you're going to lead people into the kingdom by love, not by knowledge. Knowledge is a needed thing. We need it. But when it's applied into the wrong dimension, Brother John, it becomes something that puffs you up and it'll destroy you and kill you. You know, and there's some of us that have been around this revelational doctrine longer. I could say Brother Chuck. I could say Brother Pete. You've been around the saints said under this man of God that we look to being the father of this doctrine. We know who is. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. But, I mean, there were men that were gifted to bring something to a generation when you understand the seven churches, you know, and we say the seven messengers. You know, we use the term church ages, brethren, which isn't a biblical. We got to be careful using these terms. Now we understand them. And the age would go to a dispensation of time. Now, we got Bible for dispensations, you know, but when we say church ages, and we just have to be careful. It's an okay, just like people say millennium or people say Trinity or say they use a lot of words to describe things that aren't a biblical where you don't have it exactly right down in the word. You know, and we thank God for some of these great forefathers. You know, we got Bible for that, that, you know, we could even say fathered us in the gospel. I had a guy that I could have called a father in the gospel to me. He brought me out of the world, you know, got me away from drinking and got me away from worldly things and got me involved in church. And, you know, I could say, this guy, find me. He took time. He's knocking on my door, showed me the love of God, man. Come over and prayed with me, spoke with me, talked with me. He started helping me to learn how to transform my mind, thinking differently. But the man's in false doctrine. We become enemies later. You know, but wait, but he's the one that fathered you in the gospel. He was utilized by the Lord to bring me into something, but you know, I couldn't stop there. I had to go on. And the things that people are using to bring self-exaltation to themselves and make them bigger and better and smarter are things that we understand well, but we find what it does. And they're a perfect example themselves because they have not learned how to differentiate the gospel of Jesus Christ. They haven't rightly learned to divide the word. And they've taken it to themselves. And when you got a revelation that makes you superior than somebody else, you've never came to the revelation of Jesus Christ because he came and laid his life down for a worthless wretch like me. Amen. And when somebody won't submit to you and do what you say and you break fellowship with them or speak against them, you're not showing the love of God. There is a place to break fellowship, but there again, rightly dividing the word of God. You know, and there's a time, you know, because of discord or strife or different things that we may have to do things. So you say, well, I can see the way the service is going today. Man, we're having a wonderful time. We're the sons of God. Amen. You know, come on, bro. We're having a wonderful time here. Amen. But, you know, I'm called to be a pastor, and I got to learn to hold people together, keep people together. And when the enemy comes in like a roaring lion seeking who he could devour, you know, I'm a shepherd, brethren. I'm not going to run. The Bible said the hireling fleeth. You know, I'm not going anywhere, man. We don't choose our battles sometimes, brethren. If you're holding and been put in a leadership position of whatever sorts and you're holding the land, you know, keeping the fort, however you want to say it, when the enemy comes over the hill, brethren, it's not like, well, I ordered this, but you know how to defend it. Amen. And you'd say, well, we got to sometimes get out of the defensive mode and get in the offensive mode. I do understand that perfectly well. Amen. But you know, everything we're going to do it by love, through love. And that's what's going to overcome. It's love, brethren. So when we take something by force and we take something by fear, you'll have it for a short time. But it'll be continually looking, and they'll turn on you and rend you. You always hear these things, you know, a man that goes over and takes another man's wife away from him. He's got something to rope. The Bible said, God's not mocked what a man sows and what a man reaps. And, you know, oh, yeah, but we're the real ones, you know. A guy goes, you know, over to your wife and says, oh, yeah, I'm much better than your husband. Man, he's just a sorry sucker. You know, he don't love you like I love you. You know, he ain't no good, but I'm good. And, you know, this is dirty politics. So you start doing that, and woman's a weaker vessel, a weaker mind, and all of a sudden takes them. But let me tell you something, the same thing's going to happen again. It'll happen again. It'll be that because that's the biblical way. And if you go over and you take, let's say that they come over and take this church over and win all you guys' minds, that's okay. If that's the will of the Lord, praise God, man. I'll sit and submit and do everything I can. You know, this superior revelation. Brother George said, he said, if a man would come with a superior revelation, man, I'd submit to him and follow him. And he meant that, brother. It wasn't just something to say. But you know, brother, a family of God's a family. And you know, you might be stronger than me and put me down, but that don't mean you're taking over my house. You know, amen. This ain't my house. This is the Lord's house. And they don't understand. And if you just stand back and watch, you know, you'll see the things that come by revelation, things that take place. This ain't no new thing. Amen. Ain't no new thing under the sun here by no means. Amen. While we're standing, I'm going to pray a minute. We're going to go into the Word. I appreciate, you know, the music and things this morning and the brotherhood. I thank God for the family of God. Yesterday we had a good day working and laboring together and trying to take some things to the property and getting some things cleaned up, and we're just kind of getting started. Amen. And you know, I'd say, well, what does this have to do with, Brother Rob? It has to do with God's place. We need to continue on and get some things in order and some things right. And we got many, much things to do. And you say, what's it all about? It's all about winning souls. When people see that the things of God are important to you, that's the first way to start winning souls. Amen. When people see that God's things are precious in your sight, amen. If we can't take care of the house of the Lord, we're not going to see our own household. You know, it's a family. Sometimes we have families have problems. And sometimes it's because they ran to their own household and they're denied the house of God. And it brings complications. When God's things ain't important to you, then your things ain't important to God. You're the one that said that. Oh, but he's a big, merciful, loving God. And he said, yeah, I understand that perfectly clear. That's why you still got breath in your lungs. And I. Amen. But, you know, we have to understand his ways. You know, Brother Randy's a father. Brother Ed's a father. Pete's a father. We got many fathers in here. And you know, sometimes as a father, when your children didn't conform to the obedience, the Bible's saying obedience is better than sacrifice, then they enter into sacrifice. And things that don't seem nothing to you, a little trivial here or there, little things that seem so insignificant to you, you know, the Lord said, I'm not pleased with that. Amen. And if we don't submit as a child to the obedience of him, then we bring sacrifice. And usually, you as a man, I know men well, I'm a man, it's usually somebody else's fault. You know, if I'm not prospering, it's somebody else's fault. You know, my boss is no good, he ain't paying me enough, you know, man, this ain't right, and you know, this and that, but that's not true. When your ways please God, you will prosper. So you need to look and say, man, I must be doing something that ain't pleasing God. But then yet the other side of the perspective, I know men that are prospering and got hundreds of thousands of dollars and they don't even know God and God doesn't know them. You know, I know people that have troubles with that kind of a statement. And you'd say, well, what is that? It's an uncertain sound. You know, they're receiving their kingdom now. They've got their own kingdom because they have a different God. And it's the God of this world. So they've made them prosperity and blessings, and we've got reprobate television evangelists that get on there and, you know, they teach that prosperity is the blessings of God. Well, they're telling the truth, but they take a truth and
twisted and perverted. You know, the Bible said that the wealth of these unjust people will testify against them on the day of judgment. So, you know, the things they got is just testifying against them. And the things that a son of God has testifies the provisions of God, the glory of God, and that God, you know, arm isn't short, and he's blessing his people, because that's what the word says. You look at things through an intellectual concept of mind, and, you know, when I came to the place called Little Bethlehem, the place where I was indoctrinated with revelational truths and things, the things where I came to get things straightened out in my life, my world fell to pieces, Brother Ed. I mean, to tell you, everybody that knew me as a Christian, as a minister, as an evangelist, man, knew that Brother Rob always had prosperity around him. Driving new automobiles, owning homes and properties, airplanes, and flying around the country and different things. And I come there, I lost everything. Everything, but I gained everything. And the Lord put me through the fire. You know, and it was a perfect thing for, I mean, I was having, you've heard the story, some of you. I was having jobs offered to me. I know I have you standing. I was having careers offered to me, airports offered to me, and some very lucrative things offered to me. You know, but let me tell you, I found the most lucrative thing, brethren, the most lucrative, the most prosperous thing in all the world. And it was the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times we polish up this mind up here with our intellectual abilities and our masculinity and our puffed up self as a man, and we polish up that mind and we want to tell him, oh yeah, I got the mind of Christ. And then we quote some revelational scriptures that the other church world isn't quoting because we've got this superior mind of revelation, and we get people following after us and we lead them by fear. Amen. Very skillful tactic of the old slew foot. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, I could speak real clear about it, because I've been sucked into that web before. I understand it. I know it. I know how flattery works, you know. And, you know, got to give everybody a position and a name. Brother Pete had a man call him up and told him, he said, I'm going to be the next Secretary of State of the United States. And you know, Brother David Paul is going to be the, and he said, I'm prophesying to you. He said, Brother David Paul will be the next president of the United States. That was the height and the fullness of a narcissistic narcissism that ever was. And when he got to D.C., they mocked him and laughed. And you say, but Brother Rob, if you really come to the revelation of Jesus, you know that the Lord Jesus could raise a man up out of nothing and make him the king over Israel. And I said, oh, sure he can, a little shepherd boy. I know exactly what God could do, but the problem was, it wasn't God. It was a puffed up, fleshly, narcissistic mind. Amen. That thought so highly of itself. Amen. And let me tell you something. Where's that mind at today? It lays in the members of every man and every woman. It's never me. It's never my fault. It's everything around me. It's this one, that one, this one, that one. Amen. So while you're passing the buck and making it everybody else's fault, you'll never understand what a reprobate mind is. Amen. Never understand. And then when you say reprobate, it sounds so strong. And so, Paul, we may speak on that just a little bit this morning. While we're standing, let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for a wonderful, powerful group of people, Father. The power can only come from you, Lord God. Not power because of location or skin color or gender, Father, but power that was only given by you, Lord God, when they received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Father God, I'm asking this morning, Lord. I'm asking you this morning, Father, to help us. And Father, if I could speak by the oracles of heaven, Lord God, and take my time, Lord, to explain, I know that it could not even be heard, perceived, understood, or comprehended unless, Father, you would open up the mind and the ear and the heart. And Father, overconfidence of the one that already knows, I know is the first stopper to the ear, Lord, when heaven speaks. So Father, I'm asking you this morning to open up ears to perceive and to hear and to understand and comprehend what is taking place in the mind of revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord God. Father, looking beyond the allegories of the nation and the world, looking beyond any allegoric expression or thought to the reality of the expressed image of God, Father, we ask for help this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. God's good, isn't he? Serving a wonderful Lord. Just a little short report. Sister Grace this morning is being released from the hospital. They ran a lot of tests and things, as doctors do. A lot of times doctors are afraid to release somebody because if something, if they get released and go home and something happens, there's lawsuits. So, you know, a lot of times the doctor look at it and say, man, you look good to me, everything's okay, but I'm going to send you over to this specialist. It kind of like passing the buck, let him release you. He's the specialist, you know. I'm not going to release you in case something happens. But she was dealing with some low potassium and magnesium. They were putting bags on her and IVs and different things for days, trying to get her up in strength and different stuff. But she appears to be holding food down and things. And thank you all for the prayers and the help. Brother Billy stepped up to the plate. They were hauling Grace off the other day. My ambulance, you know, my dad wanted to go up there calling for me. I called Brother Billy, and he said, well, that's what he should do. It's his nephew. Let me tell you something, brother. I've been up in the ICU in these hospitals and seen 3, 4, 5, 6-month-old little babies, and they're laying in the balance that they didn't know if would make it, and neither parent there. And I talked to the nurse, said, we haven't seen the mother or the father for over a week. And the little baby in ICU in harm's way. So, you know, just because it's a mama, just because it's a daddy don't mean nothing to me or a nephew. I got a brother that was probably, if he was here and his dad needed to go to the hospital, or he would be too busy polishing a motorcycle. And that sounds like a terrible insult, but he's got his own world, his own thing, his own mind, his own kingdom, his own desires and his own wishes. And that sounds like a terrible indictment to a man. But, you know, brethren, I'm talking about all men's hearts are fashioned alike unless they get born again and filled with God's Spirit. And with that said, I can also say I know men that are not Christians, are not born again, that are really good daddies. Take time with their children when some spirit-filled men ain't got time. Got a business to run. I got a thing to do. And let's talk about pastors. They got a ministry. And I was one of them guilty. At times to leave my own house, taken after somebody else's home, and left and neglected my own. Amen. So I've seen a few things over the years, made many mistakes, brethren, many failures. Amen. But by his grace, he was great to me and good to me and helped me and loved me. And he would reinstate me or reconcile me. Amen. But the thing I had to do, brothers and sisters, was learn to come to an understanding of repentance. And that's not just saying, Lord, I'm sorry for my mistake. It's turning away from it and turning back away. Brother Chuck, if you'll put John, the 5th chapter, on this Bible right here. You know, brethren, there's things, as we turn over to the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, you know, there's things that we could read in the Scriptures, and we read it, and because of our quick intellect, our quick understanding. I was speaking with a man yesterday on the phone, and he was talking about another man. You know, this man has been saturating himself with Brother Pike, and he was told to stay away from me, and that I don't have the revelation, and that the brother that was speaking to him, you know, so far superior over me in revelation. Well, you know, he's been hearing this for months. He'd been listening to Brother George, and he was seeing an uncertain sound going forth in this. Nothing to do with me. I had another man drive 350 miles here to meet me because he was told how wretched and evil and demonic I was. And he said, God just kept talking to him, said, you know, man, there's something. And he kept drawing him towards me. And the guy drives up here and he goes, well, I'd come up here and meet you myself. He said, I tuned into your services. I watched some live things. I said, man, that don't sound like a corrupt, evil man. So he said, I had to get face to face, eyeball to eyeball with you. And he come up here and he said, man, and he found peace. He found the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, you know, and he had a change of heart over that. Well, this man said that the Lord kept on and kept on pressing him to contact me. And he said he just kind of pushed over it and pushed over it and pushed over it. And the man was very careful to speak. He talks like a seasoned a seasoned man. I think he's this gentleman's in his 40s. But he talked like a man with some understanding and was going to be slow to speak. And let me tell you, I was that man when I came to Bethlehem for this reason. I found out that I had a lot of things that was called doctrine in me that didn't have scriptural foundational strength, nor was misrepresented to me. And when I started finding that I was having to make a lot of alterations in the way I thought, the way I'd been trained, the way I'd been taught, and I was having to make a lot of alterations, so I just got slow to speak because I found that I had error in me. I didn't have a spirit of error, brother, and there's a difference of a spirit of error and error. Amen. A spirit of error is when a man is going to continue in error and stay in error, and he's given to error, and he won't receive the help or the correction to come out of the error. Now, now we're talking about a spirit of error. Brethren, I don't have a man sitting in here today or one viewed in today or have ever met a man that could say he never erred. Now, if you're going to speak by the spirit man, he never erred. He never sinned. He never fell. You know, the spirit man. So I could speak by him differently, but I'm talking about me as a man. So we could take and apply to me as a man all of the scriptures and a reference to the spirit man, and I'll have men, they'll do that, and then they look at me and say, Brother Rob's walking under the law, man. He's bound up. He just don't have the liberty I have. No, I don't have the liberty that you have, my friend. The liberty to be a whoremonger, the liberty to drink when you feel like it because you're so powerful and you got so much revelation that God allows you to do that, and because you're different. Brethren, I know what revelational doctrine can do to people in a reprobate mind. It brings women over to your home to sleep with them while you're a pastor, and the ones that are bringing them to them are sitting under you thinking that they're doing God a service and they're going to be blessed by God. Now, that's a reprobate mind. Let me tell you something there, brother. You say, I can't imagine things getting that foolish. Well, let me tell you, there was one of the greatest men of God that ever walked the earth named Brother William Branham. Okay, I'm esteeming him as a great man of God. If you want to say, well, I believe he's a prophet of God, that's okay. I can too. I esteem him greater than a prophet of God. So if you think that I'm not esteeming him as a prophet, I esteem him greater than a prophet. Amen. And the thing is the people in his church now, in his churches, after the man went off the scene to keep the revelational doctrine in order and right, they took it that, hey, I'm a son of God. And this man over here is a beast. And they would take and have marriage relationships with another man's wife, all in this revelational doctrine, and they think that they're okay. They would have a marriage relationship because this other man's a beast and his children are going to be beasts. So they would be more fitting for God for this woman to abstain from relations with her husband and have relations with you because you're a son of God. Now that's a pretty reprobate mind, if you ask me. And but see, they would do this with such an insurance that they were right and that they had a revelation. See, that's getting pretty dark, isn't it? And then yet they would have considered themselves as followers under this great, great man of God named Brother William Branham. And it would taint his ministry. Now, Satan doesn't have no new thing under the sun. He's got the same devices, the same spirit. You see, when I meet a man that's full of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to meet the Spirit of Christ. I'm going to meet the same attributes, the same love and characteristics. But I can meet a man that says he's full of the Holy Ghost through some lying signs or wonders, I might say. And he says that, but I don't find the attributes of Christ. Now, Brother Pike used to say so oftentimes about brethren that would muddy the waters. We find in things today that my heart goes out to some people that would say, I don't want anything to do with Brother George L. Pike. If this is what it's following, I'm going to just speak out of the bell for a second. Brother Jonathan McKinney, a little young man, really had a calling in his life, really had gifts in his life, and really had an anointing. Went to his head. He got puffed up, got overconfident. I tried, God knows I tried, to take time and talk with him, befriend him, and talk with him about some things. He didn't have a lot of respect for Brother George. Probably I could say almost none. And I sympathize with that for this reason. Because a bunch of men went over there to his church that called themselves Bethlehemites. That were nothing more than reprobates. Come on now, brethren, listen to me. And they went over there, Brother George said this, Brother George that, Brother George that. And this guy's looking and said, and you're the fruit of this brother's ministry? Some of these people that claim to be Brother George's right-hand man, and I'm thinking, I'm talking about me now. And if I didn't know Brother George, and I'm walking with this guy and fellowship with this guy, I'm trying to do ministry work with this guy, if it's overseas or wherever, I'd think, man, that Brother Pike must not have been much of a man. I got people here, brother, that the way they do business, the way they do actions, the way they talk to people and stuff like that, they're going to look and think, that Brother Rob Coons must not be much of a pastor. Come on now, brother. You see, we can taint things by our actions and our deeds when you say, I follow after. I know I wasn't in the last two services. I'm totally fine, brother. And I could have come in here and ministered and preached the word. You know, yeah, I was fatigued and tired. I took a little bit of a break, but I wasn't too tired. I could have mounted up my wings like eagles and I could have come. But brother, I was in over 4.5 hour marriage counseling. I got out of that and I was right on the telephone dealing with some other things and things. I look up at my clock. It's 6:45. And I'm thinking like, you know, I had itineraries made for me, which I'm glad to do. This is what I'm here for. I'm a servant, brother. The emergency room physician, he might be tired, but somebody comes rolling in the door, man, and their heart's quit. He is going to find strength, brother, to bang on that dude and get him back around and use his expertise. But, you know, hey, everything's in order. I picked up a phone called Brother Lambert. I said, hey, brother. I said, it's 6:45. Man, I'm sorry. I'm not giving you really no time, but you think you take surgery? He said, yeah, everything was in order. Everything's fine. You know, Brother Rob wasn't sick. He wasn't beat up. He wasn't wore out. He wasn't upset. I just said, hey, and I said, and enjoyed the service. An awesome message. You know, he was talking about putting no confidence in the flesh. Who's guilty? He was speaking to me. Anybody ever put confidence in their flesh here? Amen. Anybody ever put confidence in their skill and ability? Yes. We got to just fellowshipping and talking. And Brother Pete brought up a brother. He said, man, was doing some sheetrock work over, and he gets his knives out, boy, and he's a popping them, you know. No offense, brother, but you know, white men, they just kind of clumsy around, you know, crackers. But black man, when he got the pan and the thing, boy, he got the walk, man. And, hey, man, Brother George, here I am, man, the sheetrock man. Ooh, yeah, baby. He's strolling, you know. You know how the brother, what do you call it, swagging? Man, he's swagging, boy, got that thing in his hand, goes up the ladder, boy, and he's popping that thing. And Brother George says, you know, you ought to come down there and let somebody knows what they're doing to get up there. And you know what I call that? Popping a aired up head with a pin and went, shh, and I was that guy. So after Brother Pete kind of shared the story, I kind of ad-libbed it there a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And you said, well, you had to turn into a racist thing, didn't you, Brother Rob? No, I'm just talking about, man, black men know how to walk, they know how to move, and you know, and some of us need a little bit of that, you know, walk a little proud once in a while. You know, maybe I'd give me a couple crackers up here standing behind me like in some of the black service. Just looking around. Hey, you know, you say, man, you're messing things up, Brother Rob. And no, I'm not messing nothing up. I tell you, God knows I love my black brethren, and they're not my black brethren, but his black brethren. We're brothers, amen. Brother Melvin is closer to me than my natural brother, and I love my natural brother. You know, I'm a natural man just as well as you are, and my natural brother, I know I said a derogatory thing here, and just a moment ago, I love him. He's my brother. The thing is, I found something closer than a brother when I got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. So, brethren, again, we have to differentiate continually everything to really come to an understanding of it, amen. Let's read here in John 5. I'm going to read just a little bit of this passage or some passage here to you. And I've got some other places to go this morning. But I'm going to just begin here to build a little bit of a foundation. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a multitude now, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain seasons into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Let's talk about how the Lord allowed an angel to trouble the waters that these people could step into this pool to be delivered and healed. But think about Jesus laying in the bottom of the boat on the Sea of Galilee. He troubled some waters, didn't he? Come on now. Boy, were they troubled. What was he looking to heal them from? From their carnal mind. He said, oh, you have little faith. Had to trouble the waters to get them to see that they had little faith. Amen. Come on, brethren. We're going to read here about a miraculous thing of a man that laid there at this gate and found the Lord. You know, hey, nobody's there to pick me up and set me in this thing. How am I ever going to be receive a healing? You know what I'm saying? Because he was lame. You know, brethren, from his mother's womb, he had no power. Amen? And we look at these great miracles like that. But brethren, let me tell you something. When there's a stirring of the angel, you know, sometimes we got to take a man that's weak and lame, even though he could walk, even though he could run. You know, you old fat preacher, I can outrun you, I can outjog you, we'll get on a bicycle, I'll outride you. You know, if you just want to get to it, you know, we'll find out, I'll slap the fire out of you. And I said, man, praise God. Boy, you're a masculine man. You're the man. But you know, brethren, we got to remove ourselves. There is another dimension and another realm that these things are just allegory to. And you say, but man, brother, here's a man that laid there, you know, paralyzed. You know, let's say by chance that that man was laid there calling upon the Lord, and then God himself walks along robed in flesh and says, pick up thy bed and walk, and that man walked right into hell. Come on now. What if that man walked right into hell? And you say, oh, but you know better than that. Then why did the Lord say, you know, if you don't do a certain thing, worser things will come upon you. Go and sin no more, or worser things will come upon you. And it was him that done this. You see, that's something to consider, brethren. Amen. And this is, again, we get so, I'll use the term, infatuated with these natural miracles. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you're just trying to remove natural miracles because you don't see none. Let me tell you something. I'm not looking for them. I'm looking to do greater things than what you saw there. Greater things, brethren, is what I'm called to do than what you saw there. And that is to take a man that's lame and bound and chained and get him to set free. And brethren, let me tell you something. I've got young people. I hate to say I got anything, because I am just a helper of your faith. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to say I deal with people that are so magnificent and powerful in their own minds that they don't need my help. They don't need Jesus' help. They don't need anybody's help. They got it all worked out in their head. And all I see is the depths and the clutches of Satan. Man, it has just ruling them and taking them. And yes, we're going to talk about a reprobate mind. Amen. That's a terrible place to be. A reprobate mind. And you say, well, if a man gets turned over to a reprobate mind, it's done. Well, again, we got to take and differentiate this mind in the perspective. You know, there's a place that talks about if you blaspheme against God, there is no forgiveness in this world or the world to come. But there is a place in the scriptures that spoke about the Apostle Paul doing such. And you say, well, wait a minute. Well, there's the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Father, and things. And we got scriptures for this. So we have to differentiate a little bit and understand. You know, I've had people come to me and say, Brother Rob, I may have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. And I said, if you did, you probably wouldn't be standing here talking to me and being drawn by the Spirit of God, because no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws. And usually that's a tormenting spirit, tormenting a man's mind and his thoughts. You know, and the thing is, yes, I know people that have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. I know when God has cut them off. And they usually will go into such a reprobate mind, they ain't going to have nothing to do with you or anybody, because they're in their own little caught up world. It's all about them and who they are. And if it doesn't fit around them in their world, then it isn't of God. Amen. Now, let's go on here for a minute. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. And a certain man was there, verse 5. Which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man himself, this man with no power, no strength, this impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Listen to this. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that same day was the Sabbath. Oh my gosh. Oh man. I'm going to say some things here and we're going to go on. This isn't why I'm here. But let me tell you, I listened to Brother Jonathan and I listened to some of Brother Luffman the other night. He said, "Did I put you to sleep, Brother Ruff?" Oh, God have mercy. The internet was messing up bad. It kept going off. And somewhere in one of the times it went off, I went out, man. And I was tired. But I listened to Brother Luffman's introduction and it come on and off and different things. But he started talking. It sounded like he was going to go down the same trail as Brother John did about no confidence in the flesh. Beautiful message, man. I meant to call Brother John that night after listening to it, and I still, this is the first time I've seen him since then, to my shame. I'd like to encourage, brother, it was a very, very good message. Amen. Brother Pete was commenting about it yesterday. We was out there working together. But when Brother Luffman came up, he started speaking about no confidence of flesh, and then he went up, I'm not going to say he went farther, but he was looking at it from another perspective, about having no confidence in religion. The reason I say that is because right here when we're reading, here is God himself, robed in flesh, walking among men, takes a man that had been lame for 38 years, and he says, "Take up thy bed and walk." And the man gets up and takes up his bed and walks. And the onlookers and the people looking at this, instead of seeing the mighty, powerful hand of God and rejoicing in the Lord, they went to their religion and said, "It is not acceptable for a man to take up his bed on the Sabbath day." And they're seeking after this man to bring judgment on him. Now, come on now. You know, the Apostle Paul himself was seeking and pursuing the church to put these people, men and women and children alike, to find them, incarcerate them, and even kill them that were followers of what he became to be later. He had to have an experience on a street called Straight. He had to have an experience where God had to trouble some waters by making him blind, huh? You want to talk about troubled waters? You know, when you think of waters, it has to do with people. Paul was sure troubling a lot of people, wasn't he? And the Lord had his way in it. So we got to try to find some mind, some revelation in some of these things. But let's read on just a little bit farther down. Verse 10. Verse 9 says, "On the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." I think there was some submission in him saying, "Hey, dude, I ain't had no power in these legs here. I mean, I couldn't even roll myself into that water when it was stirred. Somebody had always beat me there. So I'm stuck in this state." And this man says, "Take up my bed and walk," and take up bed. I'm going to do what he said. Good enough for me, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, they were bound to their law. Come on, Mr. Pentecostal. You know, some Baptists might be over there winning a soul because you're so, you know, he's so wrong and so much in error and so much in the wrong doctrine and wished he could be like you, Mr. Pentecostal. And boy, you know, man, you got the power and you got the gifts in your life and you believe this and you believe that. And this Baptist guy that don't know half of what you know is out there winning souls and praying with people and feeding hungry people and loving people, and they're coming to know Jesus Christ. But you got the right doctrine. But you're just as bad sometimes. Well, you know, bless God, you know, he don't believe in speaking in tongues. He's a devil. Brethren, I'm not making a case here for false doctrine. But what I'm saying is God is still healing and drawing and delivering and reconciling and bringing people to God. And when we get so religious and staunch in our religion, just as these men were, here God does a great work, a great act, and does some, and now they're wanting to kill Him and persecute Him by doing something by the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's not limited to move through you and you alone. He's going to have His way. He's going to bring rain down on unjust things and unjust people. Amen? What are you putting a blessing on that, Brother Rob? I had some men get very angry with me back when I used to do some of this social media. And I was speaking about rain coming down on the just and unjust. And they rebuked me and said that I was teaching a doctrine that God was blessing sin. No, I'm not teaching a doctrine of such. Brethren, what I teach is that right now it's raining outside. And, you know, it's not the time of year for the crops and different things right now. I know that there will be benefit in this rain. It'll put water in store places. And I know there's some winter pastures that are coming in and it's needing a little bit of rain. I understand that. But let's put it back over in a time of season, you know, in the spring or in the early months of the summer. You know, the guy that's growing marijuana out here, the marijuana leaves are saying, wow, praise God, the rain. Man, look at this. I'm getting nourishment. I'm getting strength. Amen? And the wheat field next door or the apple orchard next door or the grape vineyards next door are receiving the same nurture and the same thing. Amen? So, you know, was God pleased to put the rain down on the marijuana patch? It's just the way it is in nature, brother. The rain comes on righteousness and unrighteous, just and unjust. And people look at the rain and think that the rain, because they have rain, that they're in the blessings of God. It's not that way. I watched air of this in the Pentecostals for many, many years. A man go off drinking, go off doping, go off whoremonging. He comes to church. The rain falls down. And boy, they speak in tongues and they shout. And they run around and what in their mind are saying, well, God, forgive me what I've done yesterday, man. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. I know I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's good enough for me. And they never repented. They never made alterations. They never made changes. Because they were under a doctrine that when this rain came on them, that it was showing that they were blessed and purchased and washed by the Lord. Amen. And I'm sorry, because the Bible said when Jesus had him stand before him, he said, I never knew you. Oh, but I prophesied. I cast out devils. He said, I never knew you. Amen. So this is, again, a ministry of differentiation, of understanding, of revelation. So, you know, people have these ways. The Branhamites have a way. The Bethlehemites have a way. The Pentecostals have a way. And this is what makes you what we are. And if you do this, then you are exactly what this is. And it doesn't work that way. Amen? It doesn't work that way. You can quote the revelational doctrines and standards and talk about them, but brethren, that don't make you have them. There's only one way, and that is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And have God's Spirit. Let me go on here for a minute. In verse 11, he says, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Kind of checked out real quick, didn't he? Amen. That was called a drive-by healing. Yeah. Go ahead, pick up my bed and walk. Many times he slipped into the crowds. You know, because he knew what they were going to do and what they was laying in their heart. So he said, hey, my work isn't finished yet, but man, he was demonstrating, you know, the authority and the power that he had. And that he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more. Told that to the woman caught in the act of adultery, didn't he? Come on now. And you know, we got preachers today that say, oh, you know, you can't preach a doctrine of no sin. Well, man, that brother started it. So now we do fly-by doctrines. Sin no more.
Amen.
Lest the worst thing come unto thee. Okay, so I think it was pretty bad the condition that brother was in, wouldn't you say? But he said, go and sin no more, lest a worser thing come upon thee. I remember Brother Pete being in prayer for his mother. And she got cancer. And in her suffering, you know, the Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. She made some alterations. I'm not going to beat up Brother Pete's mother. He has a good understanding. I have my mother's passed on, man, and I could say she was numbered with all wretched flesh. Amen. As well as I could say Pete's mother. Well, Pete's mother lived a certain kind of life around influential people, around the doctors and attorneys and lawyers and different kind of things, and was around that world and knew how to dress that world and dress that part and how to rub elbows with influential people and blend in with them. That's the thing that'll put you in hell. But she done all this and cancer came. She made some alterations and some changes in her life. That's what sickness will do sometimes. Suffering in the flesh. God helped her, met her, healed her body. She had a stay, was afraid of the cancer, and went on. But there was something that took place, and she reverted back into the same lifestyle. Correct, Brother Pete? This isn't trying to beat up somebody. We're just bringing the scriptures alive. We're talking about the scriptures. You know, his mother's gone, brother, but I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to people viewing. Last Sunday, Brother Chuck sent me a thing. I don't understand the logistics of it all, but there was 39, I don't know what to call it, homes or computers or cameras or whatever, viewing the live streaming. So we're talking to people, helping people, not just right here in this church. This is what we're called to do, is bring doctrine, revelation, understanding. So, who are those people out there? I hope they're people that are listening beyond the veil, and listening and hearing, and trying to take heed to the things that they hear. Because this ministry that we speak of is going to bring one of two things. It's going to bring a blessing or a curse. It's going to bring either death or life. Sometimes people think that I choose to curse somebody. Well, it's within the power that we have, as Peter did. It's within something that's given to us. But brethren, in most cases, we don't have to. They bring it upon themselves by doing what we just read there. Go and sin no more, lest a worser thing. Lest a worser thing. Lest a worser thing come upon you. So here's a man that's lame from the womb, laying there at a place as a beggar, totally dependent on some act of kindness, of humanity, that he would even survive or live. And tells a man of such, go and sin no more, lest a worser thing come upon you. A couple scripture references right here, some of you very familiar with. Matthew 12:45 says this, then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto the wicked generation. So he brings it out of a personal aspect and brings into a generation. Here we go. I was going to read right here in Luke 11:26. It says, then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, sometimes people could be pursuing. And again, I apologize to Pete's daughter here, Brother Pete. I used his mother. Brethren, I bring things out of the veil sometimes, or things saying, hey, you know, I've witnessed the Word of God manifested in my life. I've seen the judgment in my life. I've seen the blessings in my life. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in my children. I've seen it in my father. I've seen it in my mother. You know, but it's still the Word of God, and it's thus saith the Lord, and it's yea and amen. I use a brother here, you know, not trying to, stir up bad things or this and that, but his mother sought after the Lord when suffering came to her house, and she got touched of the Lord. And she should have had a preacher saying, listen, go and sin no more. You know, the Pentecostals, I talk about them, they come to church, you know, and boy, the rain comes down, and so that preacher should have said, go and sin no more. But you know, they took the blood of Jesus Christ and they say, oh, you must be washed in the blood. They go off into their willful sin and come back. Oh, it's all under the blood. That's a lie. And then when they come into the spirit world and the spirit mind, the spirit aspect, you know, oh, we're superior beings because we're spiritual. Amen. And we cannot sin. And it isn't a magical thing that you could keep living like a dog and quote some kind of scripture and say you have no sin. Amen. The no sin is because you're born in the Spirit. And they were looking for a transformation and a manifestation. And what he said, go and sin no more. Now what he told that woman is, hey, you come to this new revelation. Now you can go back and sleep with that same man. It just won't be imputed to you as sin. Is that what he said? Absolutely not. He said, quit yielding your members, you whore, to the flesh. And if you go back to that, a worser thing is going to come upon you. Amen. Brethren, I could go into a lot of personalities now. I could talk about a lot of deaths right now. I could talk about deaths that took place under Brother Pike in the 5 years I was there. I could talk about the ones that were spoken about for the years previous to me coming there. I could talk about ones that he spoke about and called them by name and said they had a spirit of death. One of them was in his church service. Brother Jonathan knew him well. He's got family in this church. Brother Ed's wife, it was her cousin. And Brother Pike said, you got a spirit of death on you. Called it out in the church service. I don't know how many days was it between that call out in the church service and he was dead on the side of the road. What's that? About 2 weeks. That's pretty prompt, isn't it? And you say, well, did that preacher curse him? No, that preacher saw the curse and told him about it, and he needed to do something about it. Sitting in his service, lightly esteeming a young man. Sitting in his services, lightly esteeming God, speaking through the man. Sitting there, a man getting in his own mind and thinking highly of himself. I don't need to listen to this preacher. Bless God, I got more revelation than him. I got a better understanding than him. Brethren, you're not going to build yourself up some ladder of achievement with God because of your knowledge. It just puffed you up, and it didn't bring you up to him. It's going to get you cast out from him. Amen? I'm not against knowledge, brethren. We have to rightly differentiate it. If your knowledge puffs you up, makes you full of self-esteem, and makes you think highly of yourself, then it is not revelational knowledge. Amen? But you could lead people and move people by that, because that's what moves this world. The God of this world knows how to flatter. He knows how to tell you that you're somebody special. You're somebody great. You're different. You're chosen. You're a special person. I could say the same thing in the mind of Christ. Man, I know who I am. I was chosen of him. I was predestined by him. Amen? But I got to go to the word where it says, make that calling and election sure. Make it sure. Now, brethren, the thing is there's some doctrines that people are using to move people, to make them feel like they've got revelation, but I see what the outcome of that revelation that they're imparting to people. I'm finding drug addiction. I'm finding sexual immoralities. I'm finding haughtiness and arrogance and all of these different things. So there's got to be something. Why would this revelation do this if it is the revelation of Jesus Christ? But sometimes it's more a revelation of the man. Brother Chuck, if you'll put on my scripture, Romans 1:28, please. Thank you. Now listen to me. I know that we're talking, when he talks about a reprobate mind here, we're thinking of the sin of sodomy. But brethren, it doesn't just apply there, but it shows the depths and the perverseness of it. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So we're not stopping there with the verse previous says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural. So also the men, it's not just, and reprobate mind isn't just with the Sodomites. It says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness. So if a man has a reprobate mind, we're going to find unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud! Okay, I'm sorry. Why would proud stick out more, Brother Rob? Come on. It really doesn't, but it's one of the things. And we like to be proud. We're taught from children going to school, man, proud to be an American. Brother, can I say I'm proud to be a son of God? The only way I can be proud to be a son of God is getting rid of pride. There's some fine lines of differentiation there. I'm sorry. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Had a little brother yesterday here at the church, and he found out disobedience. Brother Rob don't like it. I got very strong with him. Brethren were all around, and they went to work. And brethren, I know sometimes I could be aggressive. Little Paul here knows Brother Rob well. I love little Paul. He's like a son to me. I shouldn't say a grandson to me. His daddy was like a son to me. I got very strong with Paul over here in the house because he was being a disobedient to his parent, his mother. And I jacked him up. You can call it anything you want. I got in his face. Someone said, well, I don't see the love of God in that. That's all I saw in it. It's just your interpretation of what love is. You think patting sin and, oh, I love you just the way you are and accept the way you are, you got a sovereignty, do whatever you want. You do have a sovereignty. But when your sovereignty chooses you to be on this grounds or numbered with this brotherhood or your sovereignty to be around these brethren, then at that time we're going to have an expectation for you to act like a son of God and a child of God and a brother. I've had enough people reproach this ministry. Some of them reproach it on social media by being involved in speaking and talking about things that they don't understand nor know. And it puts a smear on this whole work and this whole thing. You say, well, are you against social media? Brethren, the thing is that you might ask an evangelist that's on TVs around the country and say, are you against television? If he was against television, what's he doing on evangelistic crusades and pumping it out on the airways if he's against it? So the thing is it can be used for a tool of world evangelism, yes. But then yet if you're caught into the web of it and you think because the preacher's on channel such and such on Sundays, it's okay for you to watch your soap operas on Monday, you're just ignorant. I'm not going to say you're a reprobate mind yet, but you're playing with it. Amen. So, some of these things are complicated. I totally backed away from it. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. It's a big one, isn't it? Without understanding goes a long ways. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's pretty strong doctrine there, brethren. Sometimes we may not be maybe taking place in it, but we're having pleasure in it. Sometimes we could reap spoils from it. Brother, let me tell you something. This is very critical. Some of the things that you would feel like you have the right or the strength or the understanding or the doctrine or the revelation to be partakers in. And you think that you're reaching for somebody? You think you're helping somebody? You think you're winning somebody? And all you're doing is bringing damnation to yourself. The Bible said, when you see a brother overtaken in a fall, let ye that are spiritual go to that one overtaken and fall. And it gives you a warning there. Why is one that's spiritual? Well, you know, old brother Suggs is, you know, out of church and stuff, man. And, you know, man, I'm a soul winner, bless God. I got more love of God than all the brethren over there, Christian temple. I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to bring him back over here. I said, okay, you know, and hey, I shouldn't have used the personality here. But then they go. I'm just giving you a hypothetical situation here. They go over and say, I ain't going to that church. Man, a bunch of self-righteous people over there, man. They all thinking they're better than everybody. And man, I had need, bless God. Man, I had a light bill that needed to be paid. Did one person over there in that church have the love of God to come pay my light bill? And when the man was concerned about his light bill, went over to pick him up and go to work, he said, I got more faith than any of you brethren over there in that church. I don't have to be like you, Andy Beachy. I don't have to be like you, Brother Ed. I don't have to be like you, Brother Pete, and work every day. I got faith in God. And they're begging on the internet, reproaching the kingdom of God, because he said, I never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. But here's a man that been turned over to a reprobate mind, thinking too highly of himself with all of these gifts of the flesh, but projecting himself to be spiritual. Now we're into personalities. Come on now. We got to unveil things, brethren. We've had people walking into hell full blast in our midst, and we sit around and think, where's your love and your concern? And you pet the devil and pamper it. And then you go, and as I was talking with Brother Drell, the other side of the coin. You know, well, bless God, I know that thing. Brother Drell got reproof back here. When I made a statement about breaking fellowship with a man who was numbered with us. He makes a statement back there, you know, Brother Drell has been out in the games and the things, knows what masculinity is, and I'm watching this thing rise up in him. It wasn't speaking by the mind of Christ, it was speaking by a man. I don't need no preacher to tell me to break fellowship. I knew the sucker was a reprobate all the time. He didn't quite do it that way, but that's the spirit that was emanating. And I corrected him. I said, Brother Drell, you're an error. He apologized. I love Brother Drell, man. He's been reproved and he promptly to repent and say, man, I hear that for help, Brother Ron. And he is. He's a good brother. And I thank God that he's got enough strength to take correction and reproof and rebuke. And that'll make him grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But he's speaking, I said, now you wait a minute, brother. So that statement could be interpreted like this. Well, bless God, I'm spiritual, brother. But if this brotherhood in men's meeting chooses to work with the whoremonger, and this brotherhood talks about it in men's meeting and says, hey, this man's a pedophile, and we choose to work with him, and you say, I ain't messing with him, then that puts you outside the brotherhood. And the Bible said we don't pierce each other through. We see eye to eye, and we have the same judgment. So now the whole brotherhood has a judgment saying, let's love this man. We know he's got a problem. Put your hand on the rattlesnake's head and keep him from biting somebody. But this brother's more spiritual than all the brotherhood. I don't need no preacher telling me this is what I'm going to do. It puts him in rebellion against God. Are you with me, saints? This is why we do things as a brotherhood. So then other people will say that I'm controlling people. You know, yeah, you know, Brother Rob, you know, man, you got to do this what he says. You got to do what he says. Be careful, Henry. Cautious, my friend. You know, Brother Rob's taking people's sovereignty away from them. We're talking about reprobate mind here this morning, brethren. I had a man tell me that just the other day, a few days ago. If you don't do just what you say, cross every T and dot every I. You know? Brethren, that door ain't locked. You've sovereignty brought you to this church.
My sovereignty is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and expose sin. And I know the sin of you and your fathers and your forefathers and to all the previous generations, and there's no new thing under the sun, and the same thing that is going to convert you into a reprobate mind has been around for years, and I've seen it get a lot of men that had a lot more dedication than you got. And I've seen it snag them up and kill them and destroy them through an overconfident, arrogant, puffed up, thinking highly of themselves. A big destroyer and a killer. Come on, saints of God. Every man and woman, when I counsel people, I will bring things to light. But they have a sovereignty to do whatever they want. If you are a woman in this church and your husband goes off into sexual immorality or adultery, and you come to me for counsel, what do I do? She says, I want to divorce him. That's not always the right thing. That's not always the mind of Christ. The man might have really been overtaken in a fall and he made a terrible mistake. Let's reconcile him. I could tell the sister, I said, God is the spirit of reconciliation. Let's work with him, but there's going to be a repair path of reconciliation. Don't open up the door when he comes in because the other girl dumped him on his hind end, something that you probably should have done before. I'm not just talking, I'm ministering the mind of revelation in Christ in a situation. He is the spirit of reconciliation. He does heal. He does deliver. He does rebuild and reconcile and bring people back. But there's a pathway of it. Here's the way most of you think. Well, I sin. I'm sorry. Oh, I repented. Shut your lying mouth. Repentance is to turn and go the other way. If you've been in trouble for alcohol, that means you threw it away. You dumped it down the sink. You didn't just say you're sorry and it's calling your name until you suck it down your throat again. Come on, saints. Brethren, listen. You know, we've removed what true repentance is. Reconciliation, if your wife leaves you because you're a drunk and you've been separated a few days and then she leans to passions, leans to the flesh, leans to emotion. She loves the guy. There's no doubt that's why she married him. And all of a sudden feels sorry for him. Well, we're going to go ahead and go back together. That's her sovereignty. I didn't put them apart. That's her sovereignty. I have the right to say this as a pastor. A lot of times people tell me what they're going to do. They don't ask for counsel. If they ask for counsel, you understand? Let me tell you, your money is your sovereignty. I'm a preacher and I can tell you that you're robbing God and you're going to hurt yourself, not me. This work's going on. So I have the right to preach that and teach that to you. But then you'll turn around and look at me, you money greedy dog. You know, that's the way people are, man. They always turn the things around. That's human nature. That's mankind. But again, the thing is, there's things that could be premature in the real reconciliation. Anytime something is put back together, brethren, it's because the thing that put it apart is removed. I cannot put a man and woman back together, nor can God, if the thing that put them asunder was alcohol, and the thing that keeps them asunder is alcohol. The alcohol is removed. So the man comes in and says, man, I haven't drank for 2 days, bro. Oh, man, praise God, brother. Oh, well, where's your mercy, brother? Oh, man, I got the Holy Ghost the last 2 days, man. Man, I was praying, Brother Rob. Man, Kawasaki, Suzuki. Man, I was dancing in the church, man, kicking up my heels, man. You know, hey, praise God, I've seen all that too. Bring forth some fruit. Meet to repentance. Bring forth and show me some strength and show me some power of endurance, amen. Well, how long is that going to take? Well, you was off of it for 4 months about a year ago, and you done real well, and you went back like a dog to the vomit. So I know your pattern. You're going to come, and you're going to do this and that. You say, what are you saying, Brother Rob? I'm talking about things we deal with on a daily basis. A little sister going through a separation in this church. One of her children told her, well, where's your Christianity? I don't see Christ in you not forgiving my father. That cuts me. Because I've seen Christ in long suffering, being beaten and crucified and spit upon and marred. And somebody said, where's your love? Where's your Christian characteristics? Where's Christ in this? Let me tell you something. I dealt with that. The little individual said, Brother Rob, I was given place to a devil. Exactly right. Little boys give place to devils. Look at little Levi. I love that little guy more than anything. And I mean, today I walk into church, he puts his arms out like that. And his dad didn't see he was running to me, but he set him down for a time. Get over here. And he said he was coming to Pops. I'll take Pops Jr. Okay. And that's Pop Pops. That's a double portion. I'm just Pops. Okay. But I love the little fella. I mean, God knows that. I love all the children. But he got that little smile, man. Poor Carrie got a husband with that same thing, you know. We understand, sister. It's okay. But you know what? I said all that to say this. As beautiful as he is and as nice as he is, that little guy can give place to a devil. How could something so sweet? I told you about Brother Pike. His son has a new baby. He'd never seen the baby. He's at the hospital. They bring him home from the hospital. They're going to go by granddaddy's house, Brother George. Brother George walks in the living room. The little grandbaby's laying on the couch. He comes up and he looks at it. Oh, that's a beautiful little baby. He said, that's got a strong spirit. You know, like, hey, welcome home. I can see Mama saying, what'd you say, Daddy? Strong spirit, that's the sweetest little bald bundle I've ever seen. Yeah. What did the preacher see? He looked beyond the bundle of joy and looked at it through the mind of Christ, and every little spirit, every little boy, and every little girl has a spirit on them that'll drive them into damnation and destruction. And it's your job as a mother and a father to drive that spirit of foolishness far from that child. Well, you know, we're going to wait and teach them to be men and how to work when they turn 18. Little brother, yesterday was out, we're working in the woods. He's got both hands in his pocket and he's walking around like that. And I reproved the brethren. I said, we're supposed to be teaching these boys. And you all sit there and he's walking around with his hands in his pocket. How can we teach him to be a man? When a man's got his hands in his pocket saying, hey, I ain't got a mind to work. And I know when we all take a break, we're standing around the fire or whatever, man, put his hand up, no problem. But when we're working, he's saying, hey, I'm shut down right now. I told the little brother, I said, you're telling me you ain't got a mind to work. What are you doing out here? You want to go back over to your babysitters? You say, you talk to an 8-year-old boy like that? Sure, I did. When are you supposed to start training them? I know when. And you wait too long. You pet them and treat them like babies. And we got snowflakes for children running the government. Because daddy wasn't in their face. Because mother let them backtalk them. They got no respect. If they can't respect their mother, they're not going to respect the preacher. They're not going to respect God. They're not going to respect no one. I had a man offer some reproof to me the other day. He said it ain't his son's place to help his mother. I said, I'm sorry, I disagree. I like to talk to a son like a man. Oh, it may not be fair if it's a 14-year-old boy or a 15 or a 16-year-old that all of a sudden he's having to help mama. But I've known of cases where boys on the farm and daddy got killed. We might be backing up back when men were men. Daddy got killed maybe in a farming accident or daddy got killed or whatever. And here's a boy that's got 5 siblings. And here he is on the farm when other kids would be maybe going off to school or going to get married, starting their own thing. But here he is getting under the burden of helping mama keep the farm. Out there plowing, out there trying to plant and do things and help feed his little brothers and sisters. Those things happen and a boy gets to say, I'm going to have to take my place as a man now. This is what Christ is about. Christianity is about is we're going to become men of God, men of valor, men of strength. We're not snowflakes. We're not sissies. We're not being pampered. We're not being petted. We learn what it means to be a man and have a responsibility. Children got to start having that imparted to them at 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, all through their life. Well, Brother Rob, you need to let them be a boy sometimes. Amen. I agree with that. But in the midst of doing that, there's always learning responsibilities. In the midst of that, you let them go ride their bike and play when they were disobedient, didn't take the trash out, then you're imparting something into that kid called disobedience. And when he's in hell because of disobedience to God, it's your fault, mama. Amen? You say, that'd be my husband's fault. Well, he should have been watching. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Brother Billy. We're going to talk about this reprobate mind just for a moment. Now, you can think I'm going to go over here and say, well, you just got your little search engine out. Everywhere it said reprobate, you can remember. No, we're dealing with different aspects of a reprobate mind. And because you think that way, you're burning in hell anyway. Examine yourselves. No, you can examine Brother Rob. You can examine Brother Griffin, Brother Gilbert, Brother Chapman, Brother Kistler. Oh, yeah, because you've got this mind that you've been taught by revelation that you could judge all things because you're spiritual. You're a reprobate. Examine yourselves is where we start. Whether ye be in the faith. But you're going to examine and see if I'm in the faith. But you never examine and see if you're in the faith. And you've misplaced faith with a puffed up, arrogant, intellectual humanism. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove Brother Rob's works. Hope it hurts a little bit. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Where's that happening at? Know ye not your own selves. Whoa. Is this the word of God? Amen. But you don't know your own selves. You're blind leaders, leading blind. You've made yourself a leader, and you're blind. You're following after your mind, your will, yourself. You're following after your understanding, your intellect, your preeminence, your puffed up self. But examine yourself. See if ye be in the faith. Examine yourself. So, you know, politics, I'm running for governor, but I'm going to tell you why Brother Gilbert, my opponent, is not worthy of the governor. He's a no good. He inhaled in college. He's no good. He's got a scar on his lip from drinking whiskey. He's no good. He used to wear hair like a tumbleweed, a white cracker afro. This big, looked like a tumbleweed head. He ain't no good. But I never qualified myself. I just told you what was wrong with him. So it makes me better. No. That's human nature. That is reprobate mind nature. You understand that? I'm sorry, Brother Tumbleweed. Brother Randy, I wasn't. Now, if somebody pulls the picture out where I had an afro, Brother Chuck, careful. You what? Where? I got to say, if I'm changing the combo. Yes, I was, okay, I'm confessing. I was ignorant, a dumb kid. And I let a guy talk me into getting an afro. He even got me one of them rakes. You know what them are, right? Little fork man carrying my pocket boy plucking that sucker out. Yeah. And I was it, son. Like, and I showed up at work with that thing. And let me tell you, at that time, at my age and that time, you know, these haircuts like a lot of you wear, these little bird off heads like most of you got around here. Real short hair. Hey, it wasn't in the style. But I went to work at the airport, and my dad was sent into town for a dress. Man, they mocked me so bad, brother. And I know we're talking doctrine here, But they mocked me so bad and this and that. I said, can I leave work for a while? I went to the barber shop. And the only way to get rid of an afro when it was just done, you know, sometimes under that perm, you know, the hair could grow a little bit and you leave a little bit. But I had to get a burr. And I ain't had one of them since I was six. I was probably around 20. But at least I could work with the men then, you know. I got to wear my boxers with a burr. Amen. That was dumb. Okay. We're done with that. If my wife shows that picture to anybody, got heated water in the chicken coop. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourselves. Means comma right there. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. How do you know that you're not reprobates? By examining yourself, by seeing if you be in the faith, by walking in obedience to the counsel of God, by twisting the word to your own favor. Come on, we do it. This is a common problem. I've dealt with it in my life. I could take an action and be in the flesh, but I got a biblical scripture to back up what I've done in my flesh. So I'm no longer in the flesh now because I got Bible, bless God. I threw that man out of the church. I was in the flesh. I didn't like him. He was ignorant and stupid. And I didn't like him. So I said, get out of here. But I went through the scripture. And I removed him by the counsel of the scriptures. You see, I could still be in the flesh. And God was trying to reconcile that man. But I didn't like him. Are you confessing, Brother Rob? I'm giving you a hypothetical. I think most of you have been sitting here all these years. Most of the brethren question why I didn't run some of them off sooner than I did. But I was hoping. I was praying. I was believing. I was trusting that why they were spying out our liberties, spots and blemishes in the feast of charity, that maybe somewhere they would have partook and eat what some of us have partook and eaten of. So we work with them, go long suffering, go the extra mile with them. We've had people come into these altars for help. We've had some of them come because it's religious duty. I've laid hands on them, they fall over on the floor and bounce off the floor. So they're like, leave them alone now. This is God doing the work. It's that? No. It's a religious stinking devil that don't want me to cast the devil at them. So the best thing to do is fall on the floor and everybody think that God done that. It was that devil trying to crawl under a rock that this preacher didn't cast him out. And I had no intentions of casting him out because it was going to go out in the dry places and find seven more and the end of the matter would be worse. Sometimes you have people in your altars weeping and crying and seeking, you know, and it sounds like repentance. It looks like repentance. Sometimes it's sorrow. I've been busted. But there's no repentance in here. The same thing's laying in their heart. And we got to be careful. We could be guilty of laying hands on a man suddenly, casting that devil off, and he says, okay, I'm going to take a reprieve for a moment here, but I'm going to go out in the dry places, and I'm going to bring me some help back. And the end of the matter is worse. Worse. I tell people sometimes the worst thing that ever happened to them is they walked through the doors of Christian Temple Church. Because when they came through these doors, they were being exposed and indoctrinated. And they reject the counsel of God. They bring a worser thing upon them. They're too puffed up. This man, he said, man, I kept praying and I kept being drawn to you. I kept being drawn to you. So then the stuff I was told to stay away from, I started reading it. And I started hearing, saying, I've been listening to Brother George. He said, the Lord told me to get a hold of you. And he says, I need help. And I said, I'm a helper to people. And I told him, I said, you can help me. I said, you can reach people that I can't get to. We got some brethren in the prisons that are doing a wonderful thing right now. They're winning souls, brethren. This man seems like a wonderful brother. I listened to him talk at length. I let him talk and let him talk. Very cautious without indictment. Very cautious to speak. Very cautious. He's saying something doesn't fit what I'm hearing this brother Pike say. There's some things not fitting. You know, brethren, one of Brother George's nephews went down here to Brother Jesse's church and was teaching that Jesus and Satan are one and the same. He said, you better be careful, Brother Rob, if you don't understand Revelation. I understand Revelation perfectly clear in that matter. And there ain't no liberty, no preacher has the right to express himself that Jesus and Satan were one in the same. But I can tell you this, that the Lord himself expressed in the book of shadows in the Old Testament of a serpent being held up on a pole for the healing of the nations, this brazen serpent. I understand that. I understand that was typical of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming in the image of sin, coming in the image of that beastly serpent image. And it took it up on a pole, up upon a cross, and it was for the healing of the nations, brethren. So I understand that. But we're not making a blanket statement. Brother George's son came to me and he said, Brother Rob, there was never no Adam and Eve. Never. He said, there was never no Adam and Eve. It was just what Moses, when he got into Revelation, he went back over and he looked at that and put these things down to bring us to an understanding. He had a revelation of this fleshly man showing the woman in Eve and this inner quickening spirit showing the masculine or Adam, the first man Adam, the second man Adam. And he said, that's all that he's seen. There was never no Adam. There was never no Eve. Well, let me tell you about that revelation there. You never remove the first dimension to make the second dimension real. You listen to me. There is a first heaven. And because we come to the revelation of the transformation of the second heaven, we don't do away with it. Yes, it's crucified. Yes, it no longer lives. Yes, it's buried in a sea of forgetfulness. And when we come to the revelation through the blood of Jesus and come into the kingdom of God, and we are in the Spirit, purged by the Spirit, you understand that? We're led by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. We sing in the Spirit. We are sons of God. We're led by the Spirit. But when we get to that, we don't do away with the blood. The blood is how we got there. But we don't apply the blood no more. The blood brought us into a place where there is no need of that application. The blood removed and had its fulfillment, its full purpose to remit and take away my sin. And then I'm born into the Spirit world. So you see, brethren, we got to keep every dimension in proper function and order. I'm going to tell you about my pastor, Brother Pike, and many of these people that got into Revelation after he went off the scene. Okay? They wanted to be more spiritual than him and come to a greater revelation than him, come to a better understanding to get people to come to them using his admiration for their own gains, for their own selves. So they're using this, brothers, and now what they would do is depart, and they would teach things that he taught with revelation and understanding, but teach them to novices that didn't have a foundation. Brother George would make statements, your revelation ain't worth 2 cents without holiness. So what is holiness? Well, you know, we put a lot of restrictions on the woman, man. We're holiness people. Woman, shut your mouth. I want a dress down to your feet. I want your collar up here choking you. I want your sleeves long. I don't want earrings on you. I want you to grow your hair out long. But we as a man, we can still project our masculinity. We can still strut around, you know, and boy, we're something special. Amen? And then we take and use our masculinity as some kind of a preeminence. And then we use our knowledge and our wisdom and some brutality. And we try to sup authority over our wives through some brutal type of thing or brutal kind of way. And we call it revelation. Brethren, you don't know what holiness is. Holiness is a lot more than your woman dressing right. Brother, the spirit of holiness, brother, brings along with meekness and patience and gentle, long-suffering and kindness. Come on, brethren. We just want to make it to some little thing. We dress our way. I got it! And then yet I hear the other side of this argument where they say, well, you know, I got the spirit of holiness. God just looks on the heart. It's just an invisible work in the heart, you know, and you live like a dog and dress like one. See, you're ignorant. You say, but we got revelational doctrine, a revelational understanding. We walk and led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Okay. Brother Chuck again, put 2 Timothy 3:8. I'm going to go over a couple more scriptures and we're going to close here. Amen. Y'all love the Lord this morning? Brethren, I'm talking to all of us, including myself. I've seen a lot of things. And sometimes revelational doctrine, as I made a statement from the church here the other night, I say that some of the things I'm teaching could be the worst things you ever heard without you applying them accurately and properly. Amen? You're trying to, when the dead man is resurrected, brother, there's a metamorphosis and a thing that takes place that's no longer mortal or corruptible. But you're taking that mind to your intellectual head and of yourself with your pride, and it's the worst thing that ever happened to you. Amen? Now, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses as a man of God. Became a God to the people. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Here's the sad thing. The ones that need to hear this doctrine that I'm preaching this morning never will. I'm preaching this doctrine for you could be protected from them. They'll never hear this. They'll never see this. It's hid from the wise and the prudent. They'll never hear this. This doctrine isn't me preaching this because I want people to submit to me and I want people to follow me. That's not the point of this. My point of this is I'm a shepherd, and when the wolf comes, I don't flee. Amen? And I am called to do something. And that is to bring peace and protection to a fold. Amen? But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. I had a man come here and oppose me in as much revelation. He sat in my services and picked me apart in my preaching on a daily basis. Every time he would this and that, and it was all politics to him to make him greater and better. I was going out of the country, and there was a real bloodbath going on here. I mean a terrible, nasty bloodbath. And I'm thinking, man, I can't go right now with this stuff going on. And the Lord said, go. I got all this under control and taken care of. Two men left this church while I was out of the country for about 12 days. I'm going to read the scripture again that I just read. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. I stepped back and I stayed back. And this man with his depths of revelation went down to the brotherhood in Georgia. And he said, God showed me that the end of the world is going to be 9 days from today. It's going to be on Wednesday. God is going to destroy all of United States of America. I'm a prophet, bless God. He's going to destroy all of the United States, and there's only one place because of that building up there that came from Warm Springs up there, and that's the only place that God is going to spare. He took something that Brother George said, that Warm Springs, that the government would shift. At one point he said Atlanta, another point he made a statement, and Brother George was speaking by revelation of some things that were taking place. And that's where the little White House was, and it did shift. And it shifted right over there to a place called Little Bethlehem. But this man, because of not understanding revelation, said the only place in United States of America, you're thinking I'm beating up somebody, I'm exposing a reprobate mind and bringing the Word of God alive. So he says that He is sending his wife and his children to Warm Springs, the only place to be spared. And because of the vision that Brother George had, that he was the one that hit the ball around the world, that he is the new evangelist and the new missionary for the entire world, and the whole world's going to follow after him because he's going to Manila or going to the Philippines, and God told him to take all of his money with him and to distribute it on the streets in the Philippines and give all of his money away. How many of you know this story from before? Some of you. Am I been pretty accurate so far? This isn't about beating up a man, brethren. This isn't about making me right. I just done what the Lord said. He said, it'll be okay. You go ahead and go on the trip. I've got this taken care of. So the man goes, and when we read right here, it says, but they shall proceed no further, and their folly shall be manifest unto all men. They go down there before the greatest brotherhood in the world that had been indoctrinated and established under a powerful great man of God, and he stands before them with a prophetic utterance of him being the light, him being the man, him being the revelator, and the rest of you dogs are stupid, the rest of you are blind, but I've got this revelation, I've got this understanding, I've got this. Look at me. And you're all going to see in 1 week from today that this place is going to be wiped off the map. So we're talking many years ago. I don't know if 15 years has gone by since then, 16, 17. I don't know. Well, it's 2004. So I guess we're talking 14 years ago. What is this vindicating you, brother? It vindicated him. It vindicated that man in his revelation. Brother Pete could share a story with you about a man that was so vindicated in himself that did not examine himself, did not look in his own eyes. And Brother Pete said he grieved him so bad working on the properties of Little Bethlehem that he said, Brother Rob, I was thinking about throwing him off the stinking roof. Am I exaggerating? But where is the brother today? Vindication. You see, brother, you don't play with the revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't play with people's lives. Your revelation never makes you where you can rob and cheat and take advantage of people and sow strife and discord. You're never going to be so spiritual in your revelation that God's going to send you to take over a church. That ain't God's way. God will draw people to you. You don't go knock another man out of the ministry or out of a thing. That hurts and divides and hurts people. Let me tell you something. Tell you what I'm saying here. I could say that I've got this revelational doctrine. And I could be over in Mexico. I could be in the Philippines. I could be wherever, Africa, preaching. And they invite me to minister in a Baptist church. Now, Brother George done those things often when he was on the evangelistic field. So I got this superior revelation and understanding that I'm going to smite that pastor before his people because of my brilliance, of my revelation, understand God will burn that man's fields. That man, even though he's in doctrinal error, is those people's shepherd. Brother George would go in there and minister a message of love to those people and put a hunger and a thirst in their hearts for things, and he would look for the opportunity to have fellowship with that preacher outside of his brethren, and he would talk to him about whatever he felt led to talk to him about, and would hope to convert that man to the thing. Brother George didn't go and defy the Catholic Church and their doctrine, but he took a Catholic priest and baptized him in the name of Jesus, and that man said, I'm going to the head Catholic DCs or whatever, over in DC. And he did. He wanted to ordain Brother George as a Catholic priest. He said, I got the authority and the power. I've raised up this high in the church. He said, you brought me to a revelation understanding. And they busted the ice, and the brother got baptized in Jesus' name. But he went to their council. Amen. So, brethren, we think that because we have a superior revelation in somebody, that we could kill and we could steal and destroy. You're in error. I sat in a meeting with this leader of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the tainted, perverted form. Sat under him. So did Brother Pete. And he justified robbing another brother because he said the other brother wasn't with us because he wouldn't submit to him. So it gave us the right because we are the sons of God. And the wealth of the unjust brother is laid up for you and I because we're the just. And they went and robbed that man of a multiplied $1,000 deal. And they done it in the name of Jesus Christ with the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that correct, Brother Pete? You were in the same meeting that I was in. So I understand the revelation of Jesus Christ in a puffed up mind that thinks highly of itself. I've watched it. I've witnessed it. I've looked at it. I've observed. I've been in the bloodbaths. I've been in the fights. I've been hurt. I've been cast out. I've been crucified. I think that I have enough revelation and enough understanding that I could preach God's word. Amen? And because I don't use the same formulations that they use to convert people to a reprobate mind. Here's a man that doesn't know me. He heard me preach one message. He said, Lord, draw him to me. He said, brother, this is something I keep finding out. Now, some of you, like Brother Pete or Brother Chuck, that said at length with some of this counterfeit revelation that draws people to you, that puffs you up, that makes you somebody special. Come on now. This man said, brother, he goes, I keep seeing this happening. And it looks to me like they're trying to remove the supernatural and bring it all to the mind of a man. Now that's what he said. Now let me tell you something. Listen to Brother Rob a minute. I sound like that sometimes. Because I'll say, Brother Ed, if your neighbor knocks on your door and says, hey man, I'm hungry, well, I'm going to go pray about it. I say, do something. Well, you remove the supernatural. Brother Ed could have went and prayed and manna would have rained down in the backyard. Well, why did he go pray like that? Manna's in his refrigerator. Come on, man. They needed manna because there was nothing to eat. He's got something to eat. Brother, I believe in petitioning the throne of God. But sometimes I don't need to on certain aspects. He gave me discernment. He gave me understanding. You know, the brother says, hey man, would you help me? Well, let me go pray about it. I don't need to pray about it. My Bible says I can't walk with you. You're not walking right. You're not living right. You're not doing right. You've separated yourself from the fellowship and the counsel of a brotherhood and God. And you want me to walk with you? You want me to work with you? Brother Jonathan, I remember his dad getting reproved by Brother Pike for working his kids when they wasn't living right. That was a man of God talking to a man that he loved that was close to him. He was a dear brother to him. But he said, hey, nevertheless, brother, you can't do that. Brother Pike came to me. And he said, Brother Rob, you're working for my son. He ain't living right. He ain't doing right. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You don't need to be working for him. That was his own flesh and blood son. You know what I did? I went to him and said, well, Brother George said I can't work for you. I said, absolutely not what I did. I went to him and I just used the same scriptures they said. I said, brother man, the whole crew that you've given me to work. I'm over here on one side of the house painting. I'm, man, it smells like pot. I know what pot smells like. I was an idiot too. I used to smoke it. So I walk around the house and here's these dudes up here passing the joint back while they're painting windows. Sound like the Joey and Mark that you knew, brother? Yeah. Yeah, praise God. Look at me. I'm a Christian, man. Yeah, hey, I'm working these boys. We can't do that stuff, brethren. I knew better than that, but I thought, well, this is Brother George's son, so, you know, it'll be permissible. It'll be okay. Well, the pastor came to me and said, it ain't okay. You know how many people tried to find favor with Brother George through their children? Come on now. You know how many people try? It usually didn't work out too good. He was usually the next one on the cross. Go ahead, drive him in. You see, this message, it could be misinterpreted in this aspect. Brethren, if I got to crucify other people and make them look bad to make me look good, then I'm in politics and I'm wrong. I gain nothing, and I spared a lot of personalities and a lot of names. I know some of the things I said today, many of you could put a name with it and know the stories. You say, well, then what was the purpose of this? To tell you that there's no new thing under the sun, brother. I started out this morning about Brother William Branham's ministry, a great man of God, and I'm exposing things that took place in his ministry. Brother Pike, another great, great man of God, an awesome man of God, one I loved and got to fellowship with and walk with, and I count it a pleasure and a joy that I was ever even numbered with him. I got all respect for him. I don't think, and I hate to say a bad profession. I don't like bad profession. But, you know, I understand enough to know that I will probably, unless God does some miraculous thing, I'll never even see a fragment of what that man saw. And you never even heard of a fragment of the things the man saw. There were so many things that he could not speak because he perceived where we were at. He gave us a lot of beautiful revelational foundations that we could build upon. And there were things that are still coming to light and alive to me. Amen. But I could tell you something about revelation. Amen. And I can tell you that I have revelation in whatever measure. No, I'm sure it's not as great as yours or as depth of yours. And I'm sure you've been in places that I've never seen. You know, hey, it just brings you to a higher accountability. So the revelations that you've come to, if they're so superior, then you should help me and not kick me. You understand that? So, you know, brethren, I've been involved in the ministry. I was ordained in 1987, cock-a-doodle-doo. I was involved in the ministry before ordination, working, submitting, working with pastors, cock-a-doodle-doo. But I'm going to tell you this, brethren, that sometimes, you know, in walking and learning and growing, brethren, you know, we're making adaptions and changes all the time, learning. I don't have to make that preacher bad because I came to another revelation. He did what he knew to do. He loved the Lord. He helped me. I don't have to crucify that man. I've gone back to some of them men and tried to speak with them and talk with them, and they may never come to this. But I'm going to tell you this, that I came to enough revelation under Brother Pike to change my life. John came to me. I used him as an example. John Whitlow, right here sitting in our presence. He came to me, this being probably 15 years ago, maybe longer. Probably longer than that. And he said, Brother Rob, I can't walk with you. I can't submit to you, sit under you. He said, you ain't like Brother George. He said, I can't submit to you. I took my wallet out of my pocket. And I said, here, Brother John, here's my wallet. And he goes, what are you doing? And I said, well, Brother George didn't carry a wallet. You know, so maybe if I give you my wallet, then maybe I could be more like Brother George. Brother George had his reasons and convictions. I find no fault with that. But if I could give somebody my wallet and quit carrying money, and it make me like Brother George, I think I got a problem with that. I don't know what's on the back of my cereal boxes in my pantry. I do not know. Maybe to my shame. Brother George knew. He'd black them out for his children wouldn't see some of the things that he'd seen on it. I was rebuked for carrying a Coca-Cola cup into the basement. Brethren, I didn't know what was on that cup. I never even looked at that cup. I'm talking about my ignorance. But it was offensive to others there because it was some reprobate basketball player in a tank top. And they said, please get that out of here. I said, what? I don't have whiskey in my Coke. It was just Coca-Cola. And they pointed to the pitcher. I said, sorry. I didn't come against that. We got minds that'll fight that and come against it. But it was something offensive. Brother George came down, and one of the brethren had in the basement where the printing area was. And they were listening to, I'd know the name of it, this Maranatha. And Brother George said, please turn that off. He said, can't you hear that man wooing to the women? He was a very sensitive man, brethren. Very sensitive to that stuff. And he said, please turn that off. It was offensive to him. He rode in his car with the seat laying down flat, while his wife drove him around. He said, if I'm sitting up, I'm looking out here, and I see things that corrupt me and or that cause me problems. And then he said, then while I'm laying down, we're going down the highway, and I'm just looking out at the stars, and I go by a billboard. The man lived a separated life, brethren. And there was many people that sat under him and never knew him and never got to know him. They felt like they did, but they never knew him the same way that Jesus said, I never knew you. This ain't about Brother George. If I use his admiration, his successes, the things that he came to gather people, I could be an heir. His expression to me, he said, Brother Rob, I love Brother William Branham. I speak about him often. And he said, I know that's what you're going to do, but he said, you don't have to. He said, it's not necessary. I've got reports from up there already. And he said, but that's not necessary, Brother Rob. Why would he tell me that? Because he knew that there was something greater than him. And it was Jesus Christ. And he said, please, brother, make sure that it's Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. He is the Lord, the God, the King, and it is his revelation. It's not the revelation of William Branham, George Pike, or Rob Coons. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he made that very clear and very sure, and he never demanded. He commanded the house of God. He demanded reverence in the house of God. Jesus ran the money changers out. Brother George knew how to command. Amen. He earned people's respect. He didn't demand it. He said, if you're going to be in the house of God, you're going to reverence the house of God. This is his house. You may not like me, but I happen to be the guy that's orchestrating this today. You're going to be reverence. You're not going to interrupt my service. You're not going to be walking around doing what you want. You're not going to be doing it. He commanded. Amen. I have all respect and love and appreciation for him. I made this statement talking about a person in the message. I said, if me and you were going to work together and we can go into another country, and I could never mention Brother George Pike's name, or you could never mention Brother William Branham's name, would I be hindered? Well, if I couldn't mention his name, it would be a hindrance in this aspect, because he's got some awesome teachings and writings. I could say, hey, read this about this brother. But his teachings and writings was talking about Jesus, brethren. He never pointed it to himself. He never said, I'm the 20th century prophet. He never said that. He did teach us that he taught me that I was greater than the prophets. Amen. And it wasn't arrogancy, brethren. It was revelation. Amen. When I came up here, I did not know of a little Jesus church that he preached in over here off of Uwari or off of Mendenhall, I believe. I did not know anything about that church, never been there. And I came up here and found a property and talking to him and telling him this and that. And then he found out it was a half mile from that church. He said, Brother Rob, put no signs up. I don't want to offend nobody. I don't think we're moving in over on top of them. He said, don't put no signs up. I didn't put no signs up. A month, 2 months later, he said, it'll be okay. Go ahead and put signs up in your building, in our storefront. Man was sensitive. He tried to not reproach, hurt anybody. He respected people. He respected ministries. He was very careful. He wasn't crude like me. I express crudeness. My mannerisms ain't good. I'm not a good orator. I'm not a good speaker. But I'm going to tell you something. The brother imparted some things in me and helped me, and I'm doing the best I know to do. But I can tell you one thing. I may not have revelation, but I know it when I see it. I understand it and I comprehend it in whatever measure. But when you start undermining a ministry, and you're going to overthrow or overtake a ministry because of a superior mind, that is nowhere ever in the mind of revelation of Jesus Christ. It ain't hit on its way. You don't overpower a home or a woman through some preeminence or masculinity and have your way with it. Amen? There's many that are looking for churches already established that they walk in and get on a payroll. It really don't work that way. There was a lot of followers under Brother Pike that we could say never remarried, if you want to look at it in a revelational sense. Sister Betty, when Brother Pike died, she never felt to go remarry. Had that fulfillment. I've done that. I was married to a great man of God. Stayed single. I'll leave it at that. But the thing is, brother, and I will say this, she was free to if she wanted to. But again, brethren, when your revelation sets you apart from love, soul winning, and your revelation separates you the part that gives you the liberty to be deceitful, to cheat, to lie, to misrepresent, then there's a real problem with that. So, is this a dispute, Brother Rob, over revelation understanding, revelation doctrine? Absolutely not. I'm winning souls, brethren. And the thing is, I've been watching some of this for many years. I've seen a man that sat under Brother George his whole life, had time with Brother George, traveled the world with Brother George, sang on his Bible, preached for him, and he tried to hand him his church. So if you want to talk about quality of time and stuff with that, I could tell you that man had far superior more time and quality time with him. And the man came to some depths and some deep things. I sat with him in many all-night sessions to get indoctrinated and listen. And I took those things, and when I went to his father, I didn't want to ever put a father in a place to make a decision between the truth and his son or to hurt his son. I had enough sense of that. But he said, Brother Rom, don't pay no attention to that. Or I'd ask him a question where I got in some of them all night meetings. He said, I know where you've been. I know where you got that. And I'm going to tell you something. There was things being taught right there under the ministry of the revelation of Jesus Christ, brethren, that were tainted and dangerous and perverted. This man is already gone. I gained nothing by smiting Brother David Paul. Nothing. I gained nothing. The man had the potential of being one of the greatest leaders of one of the most powerful churches the world has ever seen if he would have lived obedient and in holiness and righteousness. But somewhere he let these things go to his head. Somewhere he started mixing the revelational doctrine and gave him the liberty to be in immorality. You say, Brother Rob, you better be careful what you say. I said, brethren, I am very cautious in what I say. I love the Lord and I love people. The man in which I'm speaking of, I am not trying to crucify him. I gain nothing by tearing him down. That gets into dirty politics. But what I'm saying, I understand what reprobate revelation is. I understand what it means when a man is turned over to a lie and is damned. I understand the fruits of intellectual overconfidence. I understand when people will use another man's admiration to draw people to themselves. I am speaking of a man with revelation right now. I could talk to you about things that have been revealed to me. I've had visions, I've had dreams, I've had things, and many of these things I saw before they happened. And I went to people on numerous occasions, and told them what it had to do with in Revelation and why it was going to happen. And there was some pretty large personalities involved. My son-in-law, Brother Pete, was married to my daughter. And God was very influential in using her in dreams and visions. He was likewise with my mother. I'm not going to go into personalities, but my daughter had a vision of a woman that we would esteem to be probably to be lifted up probably to the highest honor of any woman that you know. I'm talking about that you know. And saw a black veil pulled over her head of death, which had to do with carnal mind. Speaking in the behalf or in the mercy, speaking by compassion. If any woman loses the headship of her man A woman is more yielded to carnal things than a man is. A woman, when the man is being spiritual, is going to have something in mind to keep her family together, to take care of her children, feed her children. The Lord might be talking to the spiritual dad saying, fast, separate yourself. I want you on the mission field or whatever. But there's something in that woman to pull and to hold that family. It's some of the way God made her. And when the headship of the spiritual side of things, it can go really quick in a perversion. You say, well, I understand what you're trying to say. I'm talking about your house is what I am saying. Amen? Talking about my house, your house. But I've taken enough time. Let's stand together. I love you and appreciate you, brethren. Brethren, let me tell you something. There are things that Brother Pike said. There's books that he wrote. There's writings that he wrote. He said he did not want them to go back out because of uncertain sounds, possibly, because of different changes. What is that one book that Brother Nichols was trying to get back out and make it public to everybody? Spiritual Conquest. It's a deep book. Yes, a lot of beautiful revelation and awesome things. But he said this, he said, Brother Rom, he goes, there's been a lot of things. In other words, I've come to a lot greater depths or understanding. He said the book needs some serious editing. He's the author. He had the right to say that. There's things in it that you or I will probably never perceive. Maybe you already have perceived them all. But let me tell you, the man that thinks he's perceived something, and all of a sudden when the real revelation of Jesus Christ comes to that same subject matter, it's like, wow. Anybody have those experiences? Man, I have those experiences often. You think that you know something, but you don't know really what you ought to know. But when it's unveiled by the spirit of revelation, by the word of knowledge, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I didn't see it that way. I see it totally different. Let me tell you about novice revelations, Brother John. Novice revelations are like when this man that we would want to entitle as the father of, maybe we'd say revelation doctrine, Brother Pike, and his son said there was never no Adam and Eve. See, he's got a revelational truth there. I'm not mocking that. You know, we could understand the garden, brethren, and we could be a historian. I say it all the time. And you got this deep revelation about the garden, what took place, this and that. But you better bring it out of the veil of the garden, and you better bring it right into your life, because there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil laying right there in your midst, and the tree of life right there in your midst every moment of every day. And if you're just a historian going back to the garden and talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if that's all you're doing, then you ain't come to the revelation. Amen. I know where the tree of life's at, Brother Ed. Amen. I know where the tree of life's at. And I know that we all are partakers of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, brethren. Amen. With that knowledge, there's some good. But when that good puffs you up and makes you better and esteeming yourself, brother, you're in some dangerous territory. Amen. Let me tell you, when I dealt and worked and worked Brother Pike, I esteemed him, amen, as a son of God, amen. I looked at him and respected him and loved him enough to know that if he chastened me, reproved me, exhorted me, it was no difference. Thus saith the Lord. Listen to me, saints. It was literally no different than Jesus Christ when he was manifested walking in the flesh. Amen? And when he would bring forth a correction or a word or speaking to a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a scribe, it didn't matter. It was no different when Brother Pike would speak to me than Jesus Christ himself. And you'd say, man, you're in dangerous ground there. No, I've got revelation. And I understand that when good comes, amen, that ye that are full of the Holy Ghost will see good when it comes. Brother George Pike, come to a place that he no longer lived, that it was Christ that lived. And everything he done, he pointed to Jesus Christ. There was a time in his ministry, he didn't even want his names on his books. and stuff in the brethren's council and talked with their pastor and said, you know, the problem is if you don't identify it, somebody else will grab it or somebody else will this, and people need to know where to come get this manna. He was my pastor, and I love him. You ain't going to come in my presence and running him down. You're not going to talk about, Brother Durrell was with me, and a brother come and tried to smite Brother Pike in my presence. It didn't last long, did it, Brother Durrell? I shut him down right fast. Amen. And that's out of respect for the doctrine. Brother Pike's gone. You see, he's gone, so how could he be smitten? It was the same Lord, the same Christ that was being smitten. It's the doctrine of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It didn't leave with Jesus. It didn't leave with Brother Pike. Amen. It didn't leave with Brother Branham. You understand that? The doctrine of the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's here. It's strong. I may be weak, I may fail, but it's still strong. Brother Pike, one of the last things he said to me, he said, Brother Rob, it doesn't matter what happens to this body. He said, but the revelation that's come forth out of this vessel, it's truth, it's real, and it's strong. If you fail, if I fail, doesn't make the revelation weak, brethren. You failed your part. Amen. Some 30, some 60, some 100. I don't want to disgrace the kingdom. I don't want to disgrace God. We deal with people that want to disgrace what we are here. Hold together, stand together, be strong. Keep your faith, examine yourself. Make sure you be in the faith. Amen. All right, brethren, let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service. I'm sorry for keeping you so long this morning. Did this message come forth, Brother Rob, because of a phone conversation yesterday? No. This message has been coming forth because if we're honest with ourselves, and I look at the great brotherhood of Little Bethlehem, I'm not talking about any one personality right now, surely not saying anything negative towards Grace Temple. They're my brothers there. They're in the same struggle that I'm in. But what I'm telling you is Satan wants to come against this doctrine and this revelation, and he wants to kill it. He wants to make it of no effect. So the revelation of Jesus Christ isn't your intellectual head knowledge. It is the manifestation of all the attributes of the Spirit of love, with joy and peace and long-suffering and patience and gentleness and kindness. Amen. But when you got envy, strife, and hate, and malice, and backbiting, and bickering, and preeminence, and pride, amen, and drunkenness, and all the things there, then don't even talk to me about your revelation. And if you're going to sit with a man in such a condition, then, my friend, with all love, I'm going to tell you what you are. You are a reprobate, because two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. Let's give the Lord a hand, saints of God. Hallelujah. Let's sing another song, brethren, as we close the service here today. Brother, take heed to the things that you've heard. Be cautious, be careful. Amen, with the things that you hear. Brethren, I'm going to tell you with my hand raised to God, this message wasn't to discredit or to hurt anybody. But sometimes you could be one that's guilty of discrediting the kingdom and his word. Some of us here sat under some of this so-called revelational doctrine that they call revelation. And they took the supernatural out of the things that took place in the Holy of Holies. And they brought natural light in through the brilliance of a man's mind to know where the sun would be on a certain time. And we sat under the revelations of the great mind of Elijah. There was a mind of the man, not the power of God, that took him up on the mountaintop in the afternoon as he sat and mocked the prophets of Baal, because it was morning time and through the brilliant mind of man, knowing that the thunderstorms come in the afternoon, and he said and just mocked the prophets of Baal, and then water being a conductor of electricity. So the great brilliant mind of Elijah, and I did, he had a brilliant mind. It was the mind of Jesus Christ, because he came in that same mind when Jesus came in the spirit of Elijah. So don't misrepresent me here and thinking, well, I don't know what I'm saying. Elijah was an awesome man, but the power wasn't the intellectual mind of a man. The power that was demonstrated against the prophets of Baal was the power that came from heaven, amen. The power that came from God, amen. It wasn't the brilliance of a thunderstorm coming in. It had rained for 7 years, amen. So if there's going to be no rain, brethren, that means there's no clouds. And with no clouds, there's no thunder, amen. It just don't happen. So the thing is he was still a supernatural act if God brought a thundercloud in, because he said, I saw it the size of a man's hand, and it brought rain. It was showing not the power to come in and lap it up. It was to break the curse off the land that was parched and dry. And he first took authority over the prophets of Baal. You understand that? And they were mocked, and God came in by the Spirit of God and lapped up the water and brought forth the fire down from heaven. Amen. We can't remove that. Amen. We've all sat under the doctrine. It wasn't Brother George Pike's doctrine. It wasn't the revelation that came forth from him about the Ark of the Covenant being a great capacitor. And this great thing that when people walked up, it would shock them. That is a mind that wants to take the supernatural of God away from the church, away from people, and bring it to them and their brilliant mind. For they could be God before you, that they could be the preeminent one before you. You understand that? It's no new thing under the sun, brethren. Amen. Amen. So be careful with your revelations. Amen. Be cautious. Amen. And when it brings your revelation brings you prosperity, if someone else is lost, it ain't a revelation from God. Amen. My God says to go to them that despitefully use you and hate you and do good to them. Amen. And when your revelation teaches you to walk and step on somebody and deceive and to lie and to cheat, it is not a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, if your pastor is telling you that you're smarter and better than everybody, brethren, I don't teach that here. I say, love those people. Go to them. I could encourage you in Christ and talk about the brilliance of the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. I could say, you are the apple of God's eye. Amen. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He's given you an unction from the Holy One to know all things. I know that you have all power and authority and you're more than a conqueror. But when you take that to your flesh, brethren, and you take that to your head, and you use that for taking superior order over another human being, you have never came to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Lambert, if you'll take the service.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.